Now, following up on your sharing of your gratitude for the staff, it's honestly a privilege and a treat for me to be able to try to help out a little bit by being able to preach and share some time with you. I don't think any of the staff signed up for this. I know Stephen obviously didn't and Lori, but to be able to know that God works with us and gives us strength when we're asked to do much more than maybe we think we're prepared to do, that's a gift. And so I join with you in your gratitude to this staff and am honored to be able to help out a little bit by sharing the message this morning. About a couple of weeks ago, I was in the steam room after exercising, which is usually my practice. I go in there to kind of have some quiet time and, sweat a bit. But on this particular day, a couple of weeks ago, there were two women in the steam room who were having a senior conversation, I call it. It kind of goes like this. I had knee surgery a couple of weeks ago. Well, I had hip surgery about a month ago. Well, I understand knee surgery is much harder than hip surgery. And on it went. And so, you know, I go in there to have some quiet time and peace and wasn't going to happen on this particular day. So the steam room is full of steam, but out in the other corner comes this plaintive voice that says, "Could we have some quiet time?" And I thought, yes! I didn't have to be the bad guy to kind of ask for that. But, you know, something else happened to me in my thoughts. I realized that I was pretty judgmental about their conversation. It was kind of interfering with my comfort, with what I wanted out of my time in the steam room. And it reminded me further that, honestly, confession time, this is true for me, and perhaps it's true for you. I find myself bringing up these judgments almost without thinking. It just seems to be a part of my nature. Maybe it's a part of all human nature. That somehow when we look at somebody we don't know or we are uncomfortable maybe with something they're looking like or something they're doing, maybe it's the kid who's driving down the street with a loud boom, boom, boom box going on, whatever it is, our thoughts sometimes instantly turn to judgment. So I want to have a little experiment with you this morning. In a moment, we're going to look at four pictures of people you don't know. And I'm going to give you permission to uncensor yourself. I want you to let your mind go where it wants to go and look at these people who are perhaps different than anybody you've come across before, and what are some of the judgments, what are the thoughts that you come up with about that person? What kind of stories do you tell yourself about that person? We'll have about 10 seconds, 12 seconds or so to look at each picture, and in each one, let your mind and your judgments just go. Let's take a look. So I want to make an assumption that I think is true, that we all make judgments about people that we don't know. It seems to be it's just a part of our human nature. I don't know, but I know it's true that our judgments are made, and this I also know as a truth that they interfere, our judgments do, interfere with the possibility of relationships. Our judgments, even if they're under the surface, if they're unconscious, if they're things that we've learned out of our culture, if they're out of our family or out of the environment in which we live, these judgments of others put distance between us and them. If we judge them as different or not worthy of our relationship, we won't even bother having any other attitude but our judgment. But here's what I've learned that is also true. If I want to change my judgmental attitude about others, I must first look at the judgments that I make about myself. And here's why I know that's true. We learn judgments about ourselves pretty early. Think about, if you will, back to your days in junior high or what's now called middle school or high school. The judgments you made about yourself determined what group you were going to hang out with. One group you may say, well, I'm not the popular kid. I'm not able to hang out with that group. Or I'm not the really smart person. I can't hang out with that group. Or that maybe we think, maybe we are a popular kid, and so I'm going to hang out with my popular friends instead of the athletes. We called them jocks in those days. But whatever, our judgments kind of determined what group we were going to be, and our judgments were about ourselves first and foremost. That determined who we were going to be a part of. So the solution of our judging others begins with paying attention to the judgments that we make about ourselves and dealing with them first. You know, the Hebrew Scriptures in their very beginning said something astounding. We are created in the image of God. Now, we hear that phrase often, but let us sink in for a moment. What does that mean? In our human creation, the human being that we are, that human being is created and carries within us and in us, in our life, the image of God. That's how we were created. That's who you are. That's who I am, who we all are in our essence. And yet, we decided, says the Scriptures, that that wasn't enough. We decided to work on our ego impression of who we are, what we wanted to be, how we wanted others to see us. And so we acted on that instead of acting as the carriers of this divine image. So we forgot who we were. And Paul says, God, after time, had to start over. Literally start over with a recreation. In the recreation of the gift of the historical person of Jesus the Christ, who Paul says was not only created in the image of God, but carried that image so that we could see it. Why? Because God wants us not only to see the divine image in Jesus, the human form of the divine being, but to be able to see ourselves as that divine human creation. If you want to know what being truly human is, that's it. It's being the carrier of the divine human image. So this is the way Paul puts it as he wrote to the church in Corinth, as he tried to talk about and talk to them about what it means to be recreated as this image. And what are the implications of that creation? From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view, even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, if we know him no longer in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors of Christ. I lost my place. I know you haven't up there, but it's up there. So we are ambassadors of Christ. Since God is making his appeal through us, we entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. To become the righteousness of God. The bearers of the righteous divine image. That's who we are. Paul says it took a new creation. God had to put in front of us the being of Jesus the Christ so that we would know how the creation in its beginning was supposed to look and how it will now look again in God's new recreation. First, we have to be restored to the unconditional loving relationship with God. And what does that mean? That means that God does not see us as unworthy. God, as Paul says, doesn't count our trespasses against us. No, instead of seeing the unworthy part of us, God accepts us. That's God's action of love. God sees us fully human, meaning the human being of divine creation. Not the human being that we mess up, but God sees in us the true human being that God made originally, the one that God loves unconditionally. And God wants us to see ourselves as God sees us, as the holy, loved, fully and perfectly human creation that is the divine human relationship with God. Now notice what happens here. As God sees us as we are created, Paul says, now we must look at all that God's created in the same way, through God's eyes, not from our own ego-driven life, but through God's view. We are given in this new creation a new value system, a new view, a way of looking at all of creation through God's eyes. And now we can see others in the same way that God sees us. But we cannot do that until we see ourselves as the way God sees us, as fully human beings. Once we know this truth of who we are, once we experience this new reality, we can accept nothing else in creation in the same way that we used to. Not ourselves, not our strangers, not our neighbor, nothing else, no thing in all creation can we look at in the same way. Our values are changed. They're recreated. They're made new. Now that's some complicated theology, but I love how Barbara Brown Taylor, in her book that we're reading during this Lent, brings that complicated theology right down to everyday life. If you read her book, you may remember the story that she tells about going to the grocery store, in which she is standing in line having her groceries bagged by, as she describes it, a pimply-faced, incompetent teenager, throwing the heavy canned goods on top of her bag of chips. And she realizes that she's feeling right away this judgment about this teenager. But she has the wisdom to begin to ask herself, what else is going on behind this teenager that I see just throwing the bag or throwing the can of food on top of my chips? Who is this teenager? What am I being asked to see rather than just my judgment? She realized that in her judgment, that's who she was creating this teenager to be, the one that she judged as incompetent. But if she could change her view, change the way she looked at this teenager, to understand a different story, to understand who he was as created as a child of God, just maybe she could get beyond the judgment that was the story she was providing about this young man. Parker Palmer, in his Courage work, has a way of putting this that I find really helpful, and I find myself needing to repeat this often. It may be helpful to you. He says, when the going gets rough, when I feel judgment, turn to wonder. Set aside judgment to listen to others. If you feel judgmental or defensive, ask yourself, I wonder what brought her to that belief. I wonder what he is feeling right now. And here's the kicker. I wonder what my reaction teaches me about myself. So I want to try something else with you. I'm going to show you the pictures again in just a moment. This time you'll see all four pictures at the same time. Same pictures. I want you to pick out one of those people that maybe is very different, maybe has, as you looked at all four of them before, brought more judgment up than you had thought, maybe more than the others. But this time, I want you to imagine a different story about them. What can you tell within your own imagination that takes them from a picture that brings up some feelings of discomfort, at least, if not judgment, into a fully human being. So here are the four pictures. Pick out one of them and begin to tell yourself a different story about them that maybe just touches on who they are as the divine human creation. Looking at others this way is the way that God maybe looks at creation. Through the eyes of a restored relationship, of the relationship that God has created from the very beginning. In this view of the world, we see others as God sees us. And yes, the weaknesses don't go away, the failures, the frailty, even perhaps awful deeds, if we have someone that we know in our own minds we continue to hold judgment about, and that judgment is done perhaps out of a deep hurt that has been caused to us in our lives, all that is still there. We don't gloss over the reality of what happens sometimes in awful relationships. But our challenge, our charge, our commission, if you will, is to be able to look somehow underneath that as God looks at us and them, to find the spark that they may not even know they have, the spark of divine presence, divine being. Now, this is really tough. I know in the core of my being this is true, so much so that I think that divine spark, that divine reality of human divine creation exists in the worst people in the world, in terrorists, in abusers. Still within them, they may not know it, is this divine creation. We see all the weaknesses, we see all the awfulness, but God says, look at yourself and the things that you are, and know that even though you have done maybe not those awful things, but maybe other things that you are not proud of in your life, what I see in you is the divine spark that I gave to you. Try to find that as you look at others. And that, my friends, is how reconciliation begins, with a new vision of creation. Reconciliation, though, is so much more. Reconciliation, says Paul, demands something of us. Just as we have been reconciled with God through God's action in Jesus the Christ, we are asked to be agents, ambassadors, actors for God of God's reconciliation. And isn't that the way God works? Just when I'm feeling all warm and fuzzy about being in this great relationship with God, and I can see everybody is fellow children of God, that's not enough. Now God says, do something about it. I want you to be my ambassadors of reconciliation. This new life in Christ isn't just about feeling good, although that's certainly, I hope, a part of it. But this new life, this new relationship that God gives us requires something of us. It provides, God's love provides a model for us of what we are asked to do, so that just as God views us no longer as failed human beings, tarnished and unworthy, we're asked to view others not simply as failed, unworthy, tarnished human beings. And just as God wants us to be in new relationship with God, we are given the same desire to be in a new relationship with others, even the stranger, even the neighbor that we don't know. And just as God does more than just desire that relationship, but took action to restore that broken relationship, God asks us to do the same. to take action to restore in reconciliation a right relationship with all creation, whether it's our environment, our institutions, or our enemy. Now the good news. God doesn't ask us to do that ourselves. But if we will place ourselves in God's care, if we will become brothers and sisters of the Christ, we receive what we need to be able to do what we cannot do on our own. And I want to say particularly, God gives us a unique gift in this particular congregation that has as a part of its core values inclusiveness, welcoming of the stranger, no matter who that stranger is, so that we can practice as a community the gift of reconciliation that we have received and give that gift to others. The first step is to take the step, and it doesn't have to be huge. It can be as simple as saying hello to someone who is an outsider, who maybe feels like they're the one on the playground with the kids that doesn't get recognized. The first step is just a step. And so I want to show you the pictures again. And this time, pick out the same picture that you had before. You've given that person a story. Now I'd like you to imagine an action. What action could you take toward reconciliation? Toward building a relationship. It doesn't have to be huge, but it's a step. Each week during Lent, the staff has put a symbol on the table to remind us of the particular point and theme that they have been talking about that enables us to find altars in all of creation. This morning, I'm putting an empty picture frame. And I invite you to put into that frame a picture of someone with whom you need reconciliation. It may be a neighbor, it may be a family member, it's anyone that you want to put into that frame. And I'd like you to ask yourself, how can I look at them differently? How can I see in them, as hard as it might be sometimes, that created gift that God has given to them? And what could I do with this real person that I've put into that frame as one small step toward reconciliation? God so loved us that we are called to love one another. Amen. Let us continue to worship as we worship God with our morning offering.